It is good to be with you this morning. I want to apologize in advance for this extra manly voice this morning. I've got one of those colds. Anybody else been there lately or maybe now? Maybe the allergies, I'm not really sure, but hopefully I can make it through without losing my voice. Some of you are like, man, I wish you'd do that sooner than later so we can get out of here. But man, I said, if this is your first time to One Church, I just want to say thank you for being here. My prayer is that you feel loved and you feel welcomed. If you get a chance before you get out of here, there is a welcome card kind of in our front seat pocket. If you could fill that out, drop it by our visitor's table. We'd love to give you just a gift. Say thank you for being here and give you just a little information about who we are as a church. And as I like to say every week, we are by no means, I can promise you this, a perfect church. But we have the opportunity this morning to serve and to worship and to honor a perfect God. Amen. We are starting a new sermon series this morning, and we are calling it The Lost and Found, all right? Has anybody ever lost anything before? Raise your hand. All right, the rest of you are just not participating or lying, okay? Now, how many of you have lost something of significance, maybe of value, and you never found it? I mean, maybe it was a wedding ring or maybe something of great value or great worth in our understanding and you just never found it. And then, you know, it's like been 5 years ago and you're like, thanks for bringing that back up again. All right. And you're sitting there kind of shoving or whoever, like you remember that time? Yes, yes, yes. Luke chapter 15, we're going to be in this morning. We'll be getting there in just a moment. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one close and nearby you. Take that. Luke is in the New Testament. So if you kind of split it in the middle, it goes Matthew, Mark, and then Luke is the third book of the New Testament. This is part of the Gospels is what it's called. The Gospels meaning the good news. The good news of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 15, there's a setting going on. It's kind of known as the lost and found department, so to speak. This whole chapter, there's four parables. Now, a parable is not a word that we use often. We usually use the word illustration. So Jesus is sitting here and in verses 1 through 2 in chapter 15, we're going to read that together, and it's really going to kind of set the scene of where Jesus is, whom Jesus is talking to, who Jesus is talking about, and then we're going to unpack it for just a few minutes this morning. Are y'all ready? Two of you are ready. This is going to be awesome, all right? Luke chapter 15, we're going to be starting in verse 1. Let's read that together. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them?'" I want to stop there for a moment because, you know, just firsthand, you're like, yeah, what's the big deal? So Jesus is wanting to sit down with some people that maybe you don't like, but I have no problem being around them. Tax collectors during this time were people who the Jewish people, for lack of a better word, despised or hated. And here's why. The tax collectors were kind of friends of the enemy, and what they would do is they would use their position to make wrong choices. You ever been there before? Maybe you have the authority, and maybe your business, or maybe even in your family, and I know none of you have ever abused that before, all right? But these tax collectors, they were abusing their position as tax collectors. And so what they would do is they would impose extra taxes so that they could pocket the rest. And so you can imagine if you see a tax collector, let's be honest with you, you're probably wanting to throw some sticks and stones or say some bad words to them. Nevertheless, Jesus was sitting with them and he was having a meal with them. Not only was there tax collectors, but there were sinners. Now, sinners in that time would be Jewish people who were not following after the Mosaic law, which would be the things that you were supposed to do, all right, things set out in the Old Testament to follow after. We know that Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, and now because of what Jesus has done on the cross and the free gift that He has given you, He has given me, He has given mankind, we can have a relationship with the Father, not because of anything that you or I have done, all because of what Jesus has done. And He offers that gift to you and to me even this morning. But here's what's going on in this situation. These people called the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the religious leaders of that time were kind of leaders of the synagogues or leaders of the church for present day speech. And they had a major problem with Jesus hanging out with those people. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who are those people in your life? And better yet, why are those people in your life? Maybe someone has wronged you. Maybe someone posted something for the whole world to see. This is the age we live in, and it wasn't true. Maybe somebody stole something from you. Maybe it wasn't lost. Maybe it was stolen. Or something, this person, maybe you just don't like them because of the way they look, all right? Some of you are like, that's the reason I don't like you, Brandon, because of the way you look, all right? I'm okay with that. Maybe they're just different. Maybe they dress differently. What is it about these people in which the church has even gotten to the point of, you know what? This is for this certain type of people. You're not welcome here. And this is the message that even in our lives, many times we display even as a church for all those people around. And when sometimes when God calls you and I to reach out to a certain type of people or someone who desperately needs Jesus, and we are criticized even as Christ followers because we've crossed that line. What is that line? Who's created that line? And so Jesus is coming and He's saying, you know what? I'm going to break down those barriers because I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come for everyone. And so there's a problem going on, so to speak. I wanted to share that because it brings a lot of significance to our scripture this morning. And as Jesus shares this first parable, it's speaking of a sheep and a shepherd. Now, I don't know if you know a lot about sheep. I don't know a lot about sheep, but what I've heard is they're not the brightest. All right? They're not the brightest animals. I have been told that sheep function much better together as a flock. And when sheep get outside the flock, when they go and they wander away from the flock, their lives are in great danger. Because sheep don't have a lot of things to fight with, all right? I mean, I guess they could get the little nub thing. I don't know what they could do. But sheep are, listen to this, sheep are very vulnerable to the things that are wanting to take them out. And so Jesus, as He starts this parable, I love, and some of you are kind of, yeah, anyway. Mark chapter 2, listen to this, verse 17. Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." My prayer this morning Because some of you have already think, you know, this is a very elementary understanding. This is a very elementary passage. My prayer is that God would captivate our hearts. That He would stir our hearts and minds in such a way that our hearts would be broken for the lostness around us. And maybe this morning you are going to resonate with this passage. You're going to say, you know what? I am one of those lost sheep. I want you to know this morning that God loves you, that God desires to have a relationship with you, and I want you to know that God is looking for you. Because He cares for you, and He has made a way for you to have a relationship with the Father because of what Jesus came and was sent to do. Maybe this morning you've made that decision. You've surrendered your life to Jesus. My prayer is that this passage would encourage you in such a way that you would once again return to the flock. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you've gotten to the point where, you know what, I don't need the church. Or maybe this morning it's been a long time since you've been a part of the church. I want you to know that God welcomes you just as He did these tax collectors and these sinners even this morning. Amen? This word welcoming is a very strong word here in the Greek language. It says basically to allow access to oneself. I know there's people maybe in your life or maybe in my life that for whatever reason they can only get so close. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Kind of your inner circle. And then you have these other people who are kind of on the fringes, and yeah, you know, you might be cordial with them, you might be friends with them, but for whatever reason, you have not allowed them, you have not welcomed them into your life. You haven't done life together. We're always talking about doing life together. We're talking about small groups and community groups, getting together and eating together, because there's power in numbers. There's power in the flock. There's power in gathering together what God's Word says in the New Testament, gathering together as the church. And God says, do not neglect it. Do not neglect it. You need it. It's for your benefit. And so Jesus is eating with those people. You mind if we pray together before we really dive in? Father, have Your way. Lord, I pray that You would humble me, and that the Holy Spirit would speak with boldness, with truth, and with clarity. God, I want to pray, Lord, for each and every person that is here. God, I pray, Lord, that You would soften our hearts, that You would give us ears to hear, and the boldness and the strength to carry it out, to take action. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, if there's someone here who feels lost, feels alone, God, that Your pursuit of them, Lord, would be so evident, and that joy that would be received because of the surrender of giving our lives to You. God, I pray, Lord, that You would make Yourself real to each and every one of us this morning. Father, we pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 3, here we go. Luke chapter 15, verse 3, it says, then Jesus told this parable. Now again, a parable is just an illustration. Not particularly a true story, but a story told to get a point across. One of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Verse 7, I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And so what Jesus has given here, he's kind of given us an illustration, but there's kind of two main themes. One is that of a sheep, and one that is of a shepherd. And just to bring this a little more home to you and I this morning, here's what Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says about being sheep, all right? We all, now all is a big word because that encompasses all, you and I, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. So here's what Jesus is saying. Hey, this message is not just for these few little people here that you're criticizing me spending time with, religious leaders, Christians, Christ followers. This message is for everyone. This message is as everyone has been in a point of their life where they have been separated from the flock because of the sin in our lives. And God is a holy God. He is a perfect God. And God's word says that if our sin is not dealt with, it will bring on eternal death into our lives. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel message, is that God made a way so that once we were lost in our sins and in our transgressions and in our bad choices and all of those things, that God made a way through Jesus so that we can once been lost, but now we can be found. He also uses the imagery of a shepherd. Many passages in the Old and New Testament, God and Jesus is represented as the good shepherd. One specifically in John chapter 10, it says, I am, just Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. He's speaking of himself. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Maybe that's what you've experienced all of your life. Someone that we have allowed to substitute in our lives as the good shepherd, but all you ever see is the evidence of abandonment. I thought that she was going to. I thought that he was going to fulfill. But he told me. But she said. And the outcome every single time leaves us without. Anybody been there before? Maybe that's where you are this morning. And we've tasted the lie. And the lie has taken us away from to the point of us being in a dangerous situation, in a dangerous position. And the only hope for your life and my life is that the good shepherd. Who is the good shepherd? It's Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. That Jesus would seek. He's seeking out. He's looking. He's moving. He's acting. He's not waiting. He's seeking you out even right now as the Holy Spirit works into our life to draw us into a relationship with the Father. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, Jesus paid it all. Not some of it, not most of it. Jesus paid it all. I'm about to start singing. The shepherd's life, not an easy life. There are still shepherds actually around the world who are tending the flock, not very prevalent in the United States anymore, but in many countries around the world, shepherding is still a big source of how they live their life. And shepherding is hard. Shepherding is difficult. Shepherding is lonely. Shepherding is dangerous because many times they have to fight off literally wild beasts and wild animals and even robbers to defend their flock because the flock cannot defend themselves. Remember, sheep don't do very well, all right? Especially when they wander from the flock. Which brings us to our first point. We see the shepherd's compassion for a lost sheep. Verse 4, let's read that again. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? And here's the key word, until he finds it. Now, this word lost here is the same word used in John 3:16, which has this description of perish. So when we think of lost, it's not just like lost, I'm going to find it, you know what I mean? I'm going to do the iPhone search, beep, beep, you know, it's like you're lost, like no hope. Like if things don't happen, if things don't change, you're going to pay for the sins that are in your life. That kind of stuff. You're going to perish without Christ in a place called hell, which is a real place that we don't like talking about, but it is a real place that God's Word talks about, but there's a better way is what God's Word says. So this word lost and perish, it's the Greek word apolume. All right, everybody say that out loud. Apolume. And I put that in your vocabulary this afternoon as you're having lunch together, okay? Which means to be lost, ruined, or destroyed. And here's the thing about it. This is a very interesting story. Here's how I would write the story. Yeah, I'm a shepherd. I counted. And this time I got 97, this time I got 98, this time I got anybody like that. Like, oh man, if you would just settle that, be still, I'm going to count again. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Like he knew that he was missing one. I wonder if the church remembers that maybe we're losing one. Maybe they've walked away from the flock. Here's our response. Let's just be honest. It's just one. We still have 99. It's just one. You see, we stop thinking about the one and we're more concerned about like, but look what we have. We have 5,000 or 10,000 or 200. And we get so driven on what God has given us, thank you, Lord, for that, that we start misrepresenting, we start missing the focus of the purpose of what God has called the church to be. It's to seek and to help God save the lost. So who is that person in your life right now that you know has never been saved? That person that you know is lost and maybe they're being deceived or whatever the situation. Maybe it's been people that have continued to let them down. Maybe it's been circumstances. But who is that person in your life that you know is lost? And if you were to get down and have an honest conversation, they know they're lost. Because when people are lost, they know it. You don't have to tell people they're living in sin. They know it. They're feeling the effects of it. Because Satan, it might give us a sensation of pleasure for a while, but at the end of the day, when we look into the mirror, we know there's something more. We know there's something, there's more to life. And let me tell you something this morning, it's Jesus. And if you have never experienced the love and the compassion and the things that Jesus has done for you, I just gotta be honest, you're missing out. I mean, you are missing out. It has changed my life. I am a new creation. I am a new man, not because of anything I've done. It's completely because of what God has done. And I know many of you this morning have that same testimony this morning. We see the shepherd's compassion for a lost sheep. He's moved to do something to save this one lost sheep. By the way, this sheep is lost because it wandered away. This sheep is lost by its own doing. This sheep is lost and has been separated, just like we have been separated because of what we have done, what's inside of us. And the cool thing is God knew that. That's why God put a plan in place. That's why Jesus is sitting with these people, because Jesus left heaven to come to this broken world and was fully human and was fully God because he had a purpose, and it was you. He had you in mind. We see the shepherd's compassion for a lost sheep, for a loved sheep. Maybe this morning, can I just be real bold? Maybe this morning you know you're lost. Maybe this morning you know that you are just wandering. You're wandering around. I just want you to know that God loves you. And how do I know that? First, he said it in Jeremiah 31:3 and in John 3:16. And some of us say, well, yeah, well, words are cheap. You know, you can't take anybody by their words. But here's the big difference. God demonstrated his love for us. Now that's a big difference, because we can talk all the time, and I love people. I want to follow after God. I want to do all of these things. I want God to change my life, but it doesn't take root until it is demonstrated. And God says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, that God demonstrated his love for us. When we were sinners, all sinners, Christ took your place. We see the shepherd's compassion for a lost sheep, for a loved sheep, and for a lone sheep. Just one sheep was missing, yet the shepherd still went. Why? Because the shepherd knows and saw the value in that one sheep and was compelled to go after it. You see, I'm convinced that Jesus came into this world to die because he deemed every lost soul precious and valuable. We see the shepherd's compassion. We also, number two, see the shepherd's commitment. Verse 5. Luke chapter 15, it says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Here's what happens if Brandon is going after that sheep. Once I found that sheep, I'm going to put a noose around it. I'm going to drag it back to the flock. I'm going to kick it. I'm going to do whatever and say, don't you ever do that again. Anybody else with me? Do you know the time that I have spent trying to look for you? Where have you been? And some of you that have sheep are like, yeah, I would do worse than that. But it says that Jesus, look at this. The shepherd joyfully. Why? Because that sheep was once lost, but now it's found. Anybody else joyful about that? And he says that he takes the sheep and he puts it on his shoulders. It was a sacrificial commitment. Let me tell you something this morning, church. God has called us as Christ followers to follow in his footsteps to also be shepherds. Maybe you didn't know that. Now you do. That's God's calling, God's purpose for your life, for the church. It's going to play out in different ways because we're different people and we have different jobs and we live in different places. But our sole purpose is to bring honor and glory to God, period. So as God calls us to be the shepherd, can I be real honest? Going after the lost can be very risky. Going after the lost can be very, very messy. Going after the lost can be very, very time-consuming. Going after the lost can go to the point of, as Jesus came, to the point of death. You see, there's people all around the world. And we don't hear about it, we don't see it. Who are losing their lives because God's changed them. What do they have to lose? To spend eternity in heaven? Yes, please. In the presence of God? Yes, please. Lord, this is your life. This is not mine. If you want me to go to this place and risk my life or risk my family's life, I'm willing to go because you've changed me. What else is there in life? Nothing. And there's people dying for their faith in Christ. Why? It's not just a spoken word, it's been demonstrated. It was a sacrificial commitment. It was also a successful commitment. You see, the shepherd did not stop until his mission has been completed and the sheep had been found. Jesus did not stop on his quest until he was able to cry, "It is finished." Here's the difficult part. is taking the message that God has for us and applying it to our lives. You see, because many of us, we have taken the words of Jesus, man, it has changed us, and we're willing to take the risk. Here's what happens many times in our lives. We go and we see the one who's lost, and we're willing to go and to go and help God save that person. God calls us to go. He doesn't ask us to save. Please hear me out. There's nothing in me that can save you. I can promise you that. God does that, but he calls us to go and to find the lost. And to share the good news so that God can save them, so God can bring them back. But what happens when that person says, "You know what? No. I don't want to be saved. Or what happens when that person is continuing to run? From what I hear, sheep like to run. I've never experienced it, but I like to run. They get spooked easily. There's a gentleman that I've known for probably 8 or 9 years. First met him when our church was on Main Street. He came walking in, and he was just kind of struggling in life a little bit. Wasn't making the best choices. Maybe you know that person. Maybe you are that person. And was really feeling the effects of that. And he had a pretty good job. And long story short, he lost his job. And, I mean, life just kind of started spiraling out of control. You know, just bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. And this particular person kind of got to the point where they left Elk City. And about 6 or 7 months ago, he walks in here, and I'm like, whoa. I was shocked to see him. I'm just going to be honest with you. We didn't really keep in touch very much, and he came in, and I was like, man, I wasn't expecting you, of all people particularly. And he was like, me and my new wife, we're here in Elk City now, and we kind of ran from another bad situation. And he was looking for answers, but was never willing to make any changes. You know what I mean? And I remember sitting down with this gentleman and said, you know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. If you don't change, the things that you are doing, if you don't surrender your life to Jesus, you're either going to be in prison or you're going to be dead because of the things he was doing. His life was out of control. And so we go to seek the lost, and there's going to be times where the lost says, you know what, I don't want it. I don't want it. I want my life to be better, but I don't want it. And they found my friend dead last week because he took his life. Folks, this is life. This is not a joke. This is not a movie. This is not something you see. You see where I'm coming from? Like, this is life. And my first response was, it doesn't surprise me. I was not surprised. Although I was sad and I was heartbroken, but it didn't surprise me. And many of us have people in our lives just like that. I just want to encourage you to keep praying. I want to encourage you to keep seeking. I want to encourage you to keep going after. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, listen to this. God is the one who changes lives. You never will. The only thing I can ever do is to point you to the truth. I can hand you off. Hey, have you met my friend Jesus? He can change your life. I can't do anything for you. I can meet a couple of needs here, but it's one, Jesus is the one who's changed me, and he can change you. We see the shepherd's commitment, the sacrificial commitment, a successful commitment. 2 Peter 3:9, we're almost done. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I love that. And our last point, the shepherd's victory. Verse 6, and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You see, the shepherd's victory, it involves rescue. It involves rest, and it also involves rejoicing. There is nothing better than knowing that God has carried you through a situation. Anybody been there before? Like, you can't even explain it. Like, life might be spiraling out of control, or maybe there's a situation, maybe there's a job loss, and all you know is that God has given you a sense of joy and peace in the midst of that storm, and it is so evident you are more like Christ in that moment than any time in your life. When you can walk through the difficult, the stinky times in life, when you were lost and God found you and changed your life, and he literally has picked you up, thrown you on his shoulders, and walked this out with you. And here's the cool thing about it is, I always ask the question, how in the world did Paul rejoice in prison? Like, was he human? No, I mean, really. Like, what was he human? Like, who was he? I read all these stories in the Bible, like, how can they have joy? Because joy is not found in anything this earth can give us. It's not even in relationships. Mr. Perfect is never going to be Mr. Perfect for you. I'm just letting you know that. I mean, I'm pretty close. I'm totally kidding, all right? It's because God has picked us up, has changed us, has saved us, and is literally carrying us through. And that's where the joy comes from. That's where our strength comes from. I'm going to ask Jared to come back up. You see, the shepherd was able to rejoice with his friends and his neighbors because his lost sheep was found. You see, God's word is so clear. It says even heaven rejoices. Any partygoers here? Like the old word says, the old song, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, all right? Some of you are too young for that. That just came to mind. I have no idea where that came from. When is the last time you celebrated what God's done in your life? I mean, really. When is the last time you've been excited about the things of God in your life? When is the last time you have been so broken over the lostness around you? See, what we do is we fill our lives with stuff so we don't have to think about it. We put blinders on so we don't have to get involved because, yes, it is messy. It's time-consuming. It's costly. But let me tell you something, church. It's our calling. So can I be real blunt? Either we are obedient in the calling or we are disobedient. There is no other. There is no fine line on the fence. God's word says, you know what? When you become lukewarm, it detests me. I want to spew you out of my mouth, what the Old Testament says. That ain't a very pretty sight. My son just threw up the other night. Not a pretty sight. And the cleanup's even worse. It's a daily choice. God says, pick up your cross and just follow me today. I'm not even talking about tomorrow, just today. And then some of us, we know we're lost. We know we've strayed away. And let me tell you something, God is coming after you. He is coming after you. And my prayer is that the Spirit would stop you in your tracks and that you would turn around and that you would give your life to Jesus. Because let me tell you something, where you're headed will only bring destruction into your life, will only bring lies into your life. Jesus is the way. He is the truth and the life. No one comes to God except through Jesus. Brandon, it's just words. Yeah, it's just words. He demonstrated his words. He demonstrated his words. And so we can come before a father that is alive. Maybe you don't know the story. Let me tell you real quickly. Jesus died on the cross. Why? Because of your sins that has separated you from God and because of the blood that he shed. How is his blood any different than yours? Because he was perfect. He was holy. You're not, I'm not. And because of what things that I've done in my life, it has separated me from God. So for something to take place, if I come into the presence of God being lost, that doesn't take place because he's holy. He's a just God. But here's the big news. Here's the good news. He made a way and it's free. What does it cost you? Let me rephrase that. It's free, but it costs you everything. I think that's where we get a little bit mixed up sometimes in church. It is free, but it costs you your life. But here's the kicker. It is the greatest life that you will ever enjoy. It is the greatest life that you will ever encompass to have purpose and meaning and joy and all of these things that the Spirit wants to give you. He wants to give you. He wants to make you more like Jesus. That's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose for your life and for my life. I'm going to ask our prayer team if they would make their way back. In this story, Jesus reminds us that all people matter to God. Jesus came for us. He carries us. He celebrates over us. And he calls us to help in the search. I don't know where you are, but if this morning you know and the heart of hearts that you know that you are lost. And here's the thing. All have been lost. Please hear me out here. All have been lost. Look at the person next to you and say, yeah, you're all. But here's the thing. Not all have been found. So if this morning you want to be found, I'm going to ask you to stand up and make your way to the back. There are men and women that would love the opportunity just to listen to you, just to talk with you, just to share what God has done in and through their lives, just to show you in God's Word, if that's what you need, about the truth of what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe this morning you've wandered away and you know it and you just need some encouragement. I want to ask you also to stand up and go back there as well. And I'm going to ask everyone if you would stand up with me real quickly as we close our time together. I want to encourage you, church, this morning. I want to encourage you in this way. To be thinking, to be praying about people that God has placed in your life that need Jesus. Like be thinking of them. Be praying for them by name. God, do whatever you need to do, Lord, so that they can understand the love that you have for them. Lord, use me if that's what you want. If not, somebody else or another church. We want to celebrate what God has done, not what this church has done or that church has done. We want to celebrate the church. This is not a competition. And I just want to encourage you to be praying faithfully. Faithfully, 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 faithfully. God, do what you need to do. God, save this person. They need you. This is such a challenge for me. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got to get better at this. And I believe in the power of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, thank you for being present in our midst. Even right now, God, Lord, I feel it, God. I feel your love. I just feel your presence, Lord, just your calmness and your joy, God. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give us the boldness, that you would give us the strength, the know-how, the wisdom to follow after you in obedience, God. Lord, maybe it's changing some things in our lives. Maybe it's starting to do something and stopping doing this. For whatever it is, God, in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would be the focal point in which we run after. Lord, make us more like you. Lord, we want to see your church explode, God, because people are coming to Christ left and right. Lord, make us people of prayer. Increase our faith. Increase my faith. Lord, because you are holy. You are good. You're a good Father. And you're a good Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for seeking after us. And God, I can only speak for myself, but Lord, thank you for finding me. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. May that be the testimony of each and every person in this room this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen.